This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Frida Liu is in the studio, and at home are me, Christine Wong, and
me, Richard Bradbury.
Mm-hmm. Woo! So today we are talking, of course, about the MCO 2.0 yet again, but we're focusing in a little bit more specifically today on, do you think FNB SMEs can survive the MCO 2.0? Why or why not? So you can respond to that question on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On Twitter, we have a poll running and we've got a couple of options. What are our options, Rich?
We have, do you think F&B SMEs can survive the MCO 2.0? Why or why not? We have yes, yes with government assistance. We have no, or we have other. Tell us what.
Yep. So that'll be our lead story for today of how the food and beverage sector is impacted by this second MCO. Then our second story is going to be about F&B's plea for operating hour extensions. And then our last story is going to be,
it's all about how a company over in Europe have quarterly orders surged by 57% on a lockdown boost. We're going to link it back to some of the local players as well, though.
Right. Everything's about food. Yeah.
Today is all about food. Very fitting for a lunchtime show. So without further ado, the first story is all about, of course, can F&B SMEs survive this MCO? Now, of course, the food and beverage sector has already taken a hard hit when the first MCO was announced in March 2020. And according to industry players, a second movement control order will have severe impact on the food and beverage sector as both businesses have run out of the reserves that saw them through the first. Malaysian F&B Operators Alliance co-founder Joshua Liu told the Malaysian Insight that many had used up all their savings keeping their businesses afloat during the first lockdown enforced in March to May last year. He said, "We did well from July to October, but then suffered a drop in business in November due to the Conditional Movement Control Order, or CMCO. There was an increase in business in December for some of us, as it was a festive season, but 30% of the operators suffered heavy losses. And now every recovery plan we had for 2021 is thrown out the window because of MCO 2.0.
Right. So like the first, a stay-home order. The second one, enforced yesterday, it prohibits restaurants from serving dining customers. Businesses that will profit from the rules of fast food outlets and convenience stores. But restaurants catering to a middle and upper class clientele do badly at such a time, according to Liu. Now, he also mentioned that a large number of restaurants closed down last year and he expects more to do the same this time around. Mm.
Yeah. Malaysian Indian Restaurant Owners Association Chairman Govindasamy Jayabalan said about 70% of the group's members suffered high losses during the conditional MCO in November and added that he foresees more shutting down as during the MCO, they will only be able to operate at 30% capacity. He also mentioned already having members asking if they'll be granted another moratorium this time and if the government is able to help them out with a rent and electricity bills for 6 months. The group has about 2,000 members, most of whom are in the Klang Valley, Penang, Johor and Perak.
The big town. So a restaurant owner who wished to be known as Ruben said he's afraid he may have to close down for good. I already laid off a couple of workers during the first MCO and now with the second round, it doesn't look good at all. And added that friends and family had helped him out financially the first time, but he cannot expect them to keep coming to his aid. So people came to my restaurant, especially on weekends, to have a drink and watch football. Without dining, 90% of my customers are gone. 90%. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what do you guys think? I mean, I got to say that I already miss dining in a restaurant so much. Mm. It's only been 2 days.
Yeah, it's worrying, obviously. I mean, we've spoken to people and we've met people who really, really struggled through, you know, the first MCO, excuse me. And this is like a double whammy for people. You know, some of them had just started getting back on their feet. They just started getting customers back in through the door, started to make a little bit more, getting a bit of revenue to try and, you know, start right. moving again. And then they get whacked with this. I mean, I don't know. There are genuinely people out there who will be really, really struggling. And just getting really down about the whole situation. Right. We need to be doing everything that we can to help these people.
Right. I mean, I can do my takeaways. I can do as much of that as possible. I mean, like, have you seen as well? I have seen a couple of restaurants that I have gone to close down. Have you guys had that experience already?
Yeah, for sure. Around here in Bangsar, for sure, there's like two or three have closed down. You know, bars have closed down, restaurants have closed down, cafes have closed down. All kinds of businesses have shuttered their doors around here.
Yeah, definitely same here.
So yesterday we had a conversation with the folks, and they were saying that, you know, 50% of businesses in retail depend on Chinese New Year and Raya, right? And that's retail. And I think so, that sort of, you know, also seeps into the F&B industry. So, you know, we're going to see this double, triple whammy. I don't know what the impact is on the F&B outlets, right? Yeah.
I mean, the difference is last year, the MCO came in after Chinese New Year, right?
Yeah.
This year, of course, it's before. And maybe those people who last year would have been going out and spending their money outside in restaurants might be doing something similar, but ordering in from restaurants and in from certain outlets. So maybe there's a little glimmer of hope there.
I mean, for Chinese New Year specifically, obviously reunion dinners are off the table entirely, right? Yeah. So that is, you know, a huge loss for sort of the dine-in experience. A lot of, you know, premium dishes and ingredients. Yeah, even yisang, right? Like, you know, if you're just at home with your family, are you inclined to order like a large portion of that? No, not really, right? So, you know, it's stuff like that. It's the fact that, you know, these massive group gatherings are being, you know, I mean, I highly doubt, honestly, that the MCO is only going to be for 2 weeks. So I suspect it is going to kind of cross over into the Chinese New Year period. And as a result, a lot of these experiences are going to be, you know, missing from this year's Chinese New Year experience as well. Obviously, that's our question running throughout the entire show today. So do you think F&B SMEs can survive the MCO 2.0? Why or why not? Get us on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio, on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Of course, after the break, we will have some opinions from a few F&B owners with us today on the line. But for now, here's Take Me to the River by Al Green here on BFM 89.9.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong. And in the studio is
Frida Liu.
And also at home is
Richard Bradbury.
Yep. So we've got a very MCO compliant setup happening right now on Enterprise Biz Bytes with only a third of us actually in the studio today. And of course, today we're also discussing the MCO 2.0, but specifically focusing on F&B. Our question running throughout the entire show today is, do you think F&B SMEs can survive the MCO 2.0? Why or why not? You can get us on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So speaking of WhatsApp, Frida, what do we have on there?
This is from Steve Chong. He makes a very interesting point. He said, just practice social distancing and wear a mask. No logic in this MCO. As factories and construction are allowed to operate whereby they are contributing to the clusters groups in the number of businesses. In my opinion, dying for one or two people is fine with social distancing and white spacious space provided for even for gaming and car wash operators and laundrettes, right? So any of these are the clusters or COVID-19 infection zone? Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And so take us through some of the results on Twitter, Rich.
Right now, the at 1%, we have people voting for other. At 14%, we have 14%. Sorry, we have 14% of people saying, yes, they do think F&B SMEs can survive. 38% are saying no. And yes, for 46%, yes, with government assistance. Some tweets I want to highlight here, though. Chong Li Yao has said business is tough during the MCO. While the stronger survives, the weaker with help and support will survive too. As consumers, let's support the local SMEs by sharing info about them, and that can be a good start. The Mandalorian has said, of course not. I've seen F&B outlets close for business. Even the big F&B players are struggling. Food delivery and takeaway helps, but not sufficient to pay labor, rental, utilities, operation costs, and etc.
For sure. Now, we're not the only people speaking about this today. We have a few F&B owners on the line with us to share their thoughts on how MCO 2.0 will affect their business. So first off on the line right now is Sharon Chia, director of Shared Lease Kopitiam and Happy Ellie. So Sharon, how do you feel about these new lockdown measures?
I understand the severity of the coronavirus spread and the dangers of our medical facilities being overwhelmed. But these new lockdown measures are too harsh. We'll have more businesses, in particular small, medium businesses, spiraling out of control and ultimately shutting.
So how will this impact your segment particularly?
Whilst there is gratitude that at least the F&B sector can still run, profits pummel when we do not have our regular dine-in customers. Yes, we can still reach our customers via delivery platforms and walk-in takeaways, but this is generally insufficient to cover all the overheads of keeping the restaurants open.
Mm. So, Sharon, what's your biggest concern about doing business with this latest announcement?
Our biggest challenge during these times and with this latest announcement would be cash flow. Inevitably, because we lose our dine-in business, we'll have less cash flowing in, whilst cash still flows out. Overheads such as staff wages, utilities, and rent remain.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the government could do to better assist business owners at the moment?
Cash grants and loan moratoriums from the government are helpful. But ideally, businesses should just be allowed to operate with SOPs normally, perhaps with shorter hours, shutting at 8 p.m. instead of 10 p.m. or 12 a.m. People should be allowed to go to work practicing SOPs and to return home by 8 p.m. Everyone keeps the economy going through the day and the city shuts off at 8 p.m.
Hmm. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about operating hours later on. But to what extent, Sharon, were you able to bounce back from the first MCO in March over the course of the last year?
The March to May period was very, very tough on our business. We had to come up with new cost-effective operation measures, which worked. When the lockdown lifted, business was much improved June to September. Then, with the second lockdown post-Sabah elections, we took a dip again, October to November. And in December, business was good. And now, unfortunately, we've got this to manage.
Right. I mean, I think the biggest question, right, is do you think you can survive a second full MCO?
I honestly do not know if we can survive another full MCO. We'll have to take one day at a time, be patient, persevere, and just see how everything maps out.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage, especially looking at the numbers rising, right? Do you think this is the best decision?
No, even with the numbers rising, this lockdown is not the best decision if more people lose their jobs. Our biggest worry now as a business owner is that we're not able to sustain our team and employees at a time when they need us the most, simply to put food on their table for their families.
Mm. And my final question for you, Sharon, is, of course, the MCO 2.0 is not the only thing that was announced recently. What are your thoughts around the state of emergency?
In my discussions with other business owners, we're not able to comprehend how a state of emergency will help reduce COVID numbers or stabilize and strengthen our already crippled economy. Our sincere plea to the government is to put the survival of the rakyat first now, and to push all politics aside.
Okay, well, that was Sharon Chia, director of Shiat Lee's Kopitiam and Happy Ellie. But of course, she's not the only expert that we have on BizBytes today. Rich? Mm.
We also have David Chin. He's the founder of Dave's Deli and Cafe Bistro David to share his thoughts on the matter. David, how do you feel about these new lockdown measures?
I fully support it, because the numbers have been increasing and it was a question of time before the government would take more stricter measures. And on this end, it was in a way quite fortunate for us that this happened after the festive season, because most of us were lucky enough to have a rather hectic festive season, and therefore managed to have a better cash flow for our business and so forth and so on. Well, all I can say now is that, you know, it's better to sort of like bite the bullet right now, take the bull by its horns, and you know, take it as it comes, you know. I would rather be optimistic about the future and think of ways and means in which we can turn the crisis to opportunities. I mean, we just have to think out of the box.
And how do you think this will impact your segment particularly?
Insofar as the impact on our business is concerned, I'm only looking at it from a very micro-localized point of view, because, you know, we are running a local business. But perhaps if they look at the overall macro view of the economy, and then you're really talking about investor confidence and so forth, it could mean entirely different thing, to which I am not in a position to comment.
All right. So what's your biggest concern about doing business with this latest announcement?
I think the biggest concern right now for all of us in F&B, or especially for me, is staff welfare. No matter what happens, you know, there will definitely be a slowdown in business. There'll be, you know, probably a cash flow probably be affected too. But I prefer to look at it more constructively. We have got to think of ways in which all of us, me and my staff, can work together towards a common end. And this common end basically is to ensure that my staff are being paid on time with the amount of money that they can survive, you know. I think that's very, very important. Other than that, we will also have to think about our rentals to be paid, our electricity, utilities, and so forth and so on. I mean, we don't even want to think about our profits. However, we still have to brace ourselves for the future. And this uncertain future, I think they put us for, say, 2 weeks. I think it's going to extend right up for another 1 month at least, knowing, you know, the trend and all that. The numbers doesn't seem to be going down.
With that in mind, what can the government do to better assist business owners at the moment?
I believe the government should look at the workforce, the labor force. They should think of some form of wage subsidy.
And do you think you can survive a second full MCO?
I think we just have to be resilient. We probably have to think out of the box, rely more definitely on deliveries, home deliveries, and ensure that whatever we serve is served well, packaged properly, and delivered to our customers in a form in which they will feel comfortable with or satisfied with. You must understand that a lot of people that come to restaurants come not just only to have the food, but to experience a dining, to dine in. Now what's going to happen is that they're going to have the food that they've been enjoying at our cafe at home. It's a big challenge for us to ensure that at least they will experience maybe, 60% of that expectation. To this end, I think it's going to be a huge challenge for us.
Okay, David, final question then. What are your thoughts around the state of emergency?
Well, as far as the state of emergency is concerned, I myself am really, really confused about the whole matter insofar as looking from a business point of view. Like most of us, I would suspect that it could be a political move, although it has been denied by the Prime Minister. But from a business point of view, with the current MCO, strict MCO protocols, I personally don't see any reason of the emergency measures being taken, because in any case, you know, we have not been informed about what sort of emergency measures will be taken by the government insofar as trying to combat COVID. Having the strict MCO in these states, I believe it's already good enough.
Right. So that was, of course, David Chin, the founder of Dave's Deli and Cafe Bistro, David, sharing his thoughts on the matter. So what do you guys think? I mean, I think it seems like the biggest concern is kind of overhead and also staff fees as well.
Right. Operating costs, right? I mean, labor, you know, making sure that they get fed, you know, because it's everything, right? It affects all these people, the secondary part. And of course, if we can look at rental again, because we had the moratorium, and I think that definitely helped, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to do this. We know, you know, I'm just thinking like 2 weeks, you know, both of them said, Sharon and David said, I don't think it's going to be 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's the fundamental thought of most Malaysians right now is that it's probably not going to be 2 weeks. But, you know, listening back to that and talking to my friends who are in F&B as well, it's not just the business that I'm worried about. And it's echoing what both Sharon and David have said. It's the staff who work for those businesses, mm-hmm. you know. They can't go to work. They're not going to get paid. And even if they are doing, you know, delivery services, that closes early as well. You're not going to need as many staff to come in to do all of those little things. That's my genuine concern.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed a couple of delivery services have also, you know, shortened their operating hours, which was kind of surprising to me, because I kind of thought, okay, well, you know, at least the takeaway and delivery elements could help the F&B sector, or, you know, even delivery services for other retail businesses as well. But if even the delivery services have cut their operating hours, it is really, really, you know, narrowing down that window of when they can make money.
Right. And yeah, also, it's then affecting the delivery drivers as well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it's their livelihood again, right?
Yeah.
And a restaurant, for example, is not just the chefs, right? It's not just the people who make the food. It's the waiters, the waitresses, it's the
delivery, right?
Yeah, delivery as well. You know, it's all these other people that are involved in like the ecosystem of the business.
Yeah.
Anyways. So that is our question running throughout the entire show today. Do you think F&B SMEs can survive the MCO 2.0? Why or why not? You can answer that question and participate in our polls on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio, or get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Coming up is a song that I feel describes how we all feel about the MCO, Two Steps Behind by Def Leppard, here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.